Be an island of light in a sea of darkness. You know, in the 1500s, they had times that were difficult and they had times that were dark. Certainly, as I'll be talking about that, we're experiencing some challenges and some difficult times. And I'm very thankful, though I think the person I'm going to talk to you about in just a moment would completely speak out against what's going on in the religion that is his namesake. In that day, he started a movement of the reintroduction of the Word of God to people. And the man I'm talking about is Martin Luther. Now, Martin Luther was called before the Diet of Worms, and that had nothing to do with what he ate. That means a tribunal, and they were examining him for his teaching, and they were trying to get him to recant of his teachings. And here is what he said to the tribunal that April day in 1521. Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. That's what we need to have, is our conscience captive to the Word of God. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen. Luther would not go for what's going on in the Lutheran Church today. At that point in his life, he believed in sola scriptura, which means the scripture is the final say, is the sole authority for our life and for our practice. He believed in sola gratia, which means grace alone saves us. Sola Christo, that Christ alone is the only way of salvation. You know, we live in a dark day today. One of my friends, you know him, he's spoken here, Dr. Lance Ketchum, he wrote this on his Facebook page: as the year 2015 fades away into the rearview mirror, the looming darkness of moral decay and spiritual decadence fills the night of 2016. We can drive into the new year in hopeless despair, or we can choose to put our lights on bright and choose to try and make a difference. He concludes it by saying, He lives. I serve a risen Savior and He lives. Let me just tell you something. I know a little bit about darkness. For a number of years, I was a spelunker. You say, what in the world is a spelunker? Is that somebody who's got some kind of a disease or what? No, a spelunker is one who explores caves. And you do not know what darkness is until you go down in a cave and you turn out all the lights. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. I was leading a group of men into a cave system in Spring Mill, Indiana, and I was the lead man, and I happened to be quite a far ahead. I told the group to kind of stay back there and save their light. I was going to see, because the water was very high that day, and I had a carbide lantern on my hard hat as I'm making my way, and I slipped off the ledge and went under the water, and my light went out. Talk about darkness. And I came up out of that 51-degree water, shivering. And the people behind me saw that my light had disappeared, and they turned on one of their flashlights. What a refreshing thing to see that light pierce the darkness. I was able to make my way back to where they were and get my, I always carried three kinds of lights with me, and so I got my second waterproof flashlight out from my pack, and we continued on exploring. You see, my challenge to you today, in this first Sunday of 2016, is to be an island of light in a sea of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, now are ye light in the Lord." And then it says, "Walk as children of light." Down in verse 11, it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Then in verse 13 it says, "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light." It says, "For whatsoever doth make manifest is the light." And then in verse 14, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." I can testify to the darkness of our nation. We're living in dark days in our nation. There's no doubt about it. On June 26th of this past year, 2015, the Supreme Court of the United States decided that the United States Constitution, well, it was mystical because there is no right in the United States Constitution, but mystically they found that the U.S. Constitution grants same-sex couples the right to marry. It was a wretched decision, and it goes against the natural order of mankind, millenniums of cultural practice, as well as against the Bible. That is darkness. And now the Southern Baptist Church is ordaining homosexuals and performing homosexual marriages. It is not going to happen here under my watch or under his. It's not going to happen. If that isn't bad enough, you just talk to one of the cops. Wisconsin is a hub for human and sexual trafficking. Modern-day slavery. Traffickers use sexual violence as a primary tool of power to control women and children to get their way. And sexual trafficking is big business. It is the second biggest business in the world. $32 billion business a year, and a big piece of it in the United States of America. Drugs only surpasses it. And Wisconsin human sex traffickers are really taking an increasing share of that money. And you know what? There's very little outcry about same-sex marriage or sexual trafficking in America today. You would think that the feminists would be going berserk and that they would be going nuts. But the reason that there is little outcry about same-sex marriage or sexual trafficking is because there is practically anarchy sexually in the United States of America. There's moral anarchy going on in our country today, even among those who profess to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I am so aggravated at Congress, I could spit nickels. The heinous illegal practice of Planned Parenthood selling baby parts from murdered babies has come to the light of Congress, and Congress refuses to take any action. National Congress has not taken any action to defund Planned Parenthood. Their blood cries out from the soil. Leviticus 10:10, we see that moral decay and spiritual decadence to such a degree is really causing great problems. We live in a day when there is a blurring of the line of what is holy and what is unholy, what is clean and what is unclean. The great worry that I have is that there, for many Christians, it's no longer repulsive to their thoughts. They're being inundated so much, they just kind of take a calloused, ho-hum attitude. And you can't do that. We're called to be salt and light, so don't go cower in your corner. Be an island of light in this sea of darkness. Why is Christianity, for the most part, irrelevant today? When you think of it, it's pretty much. Christianity is obviously increasingly under attack. Clearly, the political climate right now that we have of the current administration is pro-Islamic and anti-Christian. When I was a chaplain for the military 4 or 5 years, I had the chief of chaplains say to me it would be easier to get an Islamic imam in to address the troops than it would be to get you evangelical chaplains in there. Should we be surprised? I don't really think so. In professing Christians and in Christendom, there is very little difference between the church and the world. Very little difference between church members and the unsaved members. I had the great opportunity this past year to stand behind the pulpit of G. Campbell Morgan when I was in Wales. And one of the things that G. Campbell Morgan said is the church did the most for the world when the church was the least like the world. Let me read that again. The church did the most for the world when the church was least like the world. Here's the problem. The church is becoming so much like the world that the world has decided to ignore the church. Why should it pay any attention when there's so little difference? I mean, when the Southern Baptists are marrying homosexuals and ordaining homosexuals, what do they have to offer to the unsaved world? What do they have to offer to the homosexuals? What do they have to offer to the unsaved? The church just isn't relevant. And the reason the church is not relevant is because the church is so much like the world today. The tendency is to curse the darkness or to compromise. I challenge you to be an island of light in a sea of darkness. And let me explain. Several years ago, Lynn and I had the blessing to go on a Mediterranean cruise, and I couldn't sleep, so I got up late one night and walked onto the balcony, and it was dark as you looked out over the Mediterranean Sea. You could see around, the ship had some lights, so you could see the immediate water, but you look and it was just plain dark. And my eyes were searching for a light, and finally I caught a spot of light in the distance. And as we got closer, I found out it was the volcanic island Stromboli. And you look it up, that's the real name of an island. And there's two little villages on Stromboli. On this active, why anybody would live there, I do not know. Stromboli has been an active volcano for 2,000 years, okay? But there's two little villages there, and there were some little lights there. And as I got closer, those little lights pierced the darkness. You know, God has called us to let our light shine. The tendency would be to pull back and to hide our lights in a bushel. But don't pull back and don't hide your light under a bushel. We must, in 2:16, let our light shine. We need to be an island of light in a sea of darkness. See, the fact is, you study from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God always has His remnant. To be sure, Christendom is going to hell in a handbasket, literally. They're members, it's like a club, they're unsaved, there's no difference, they're doing all these type of things, and the ones who are saved are keeping their mouth shut because they don't want to be ostracized. It's more like a social club in many places. Thank God it's not like that here. But that means we're going to have to let our light shine. God's called us to let our light shine. And He always has a few who will shine out in the darkness for Him in this sin-darkened world. I want to be one of those remnants. I want to be one of those lights. Therefore, I must choose to walk as a child of light, as Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says. Christians, I challenge you to make the choice. I challenge you to make the choice. You can be an island of light in a sea of darkness, and this is the only way that you're going to be able to be relevant in a sin-darkened world. If you are like the darkness isn't going to come to darkness. Just like when I fell under those waters, I came up grasping for air, looking for light, and saw the light and went back to where the light was. And we need to shine the light so that people who are looking for the light, they're wearied of the darkness, they'll come to us. How can you be an island of light in a sea of darkness? Lynn and I have friends, Peter and Annette Van Cleek, and we haven't seen them in a long time, but when we used to go to conferences together, one of the things that we would do is we'd go look for a Dairy Queen together. And we'd go find a Dairy Queen. We've searched many times for Dairy Queen. In fact, he even mentioned it. But his son, who is also named Peter Van Cleek, I read a portion of his blog, and here is what Peter Jr. said. The only way 2:16 becomes a new year and not just a year like last year is if Christ followers change to be more like Christ. It's going to take your choice. Are you going to seek to be? You can't live on last year's blessings. You just can't. And maybe it wasn't all that good for your Christian testimony last year. But I don't want the defeats of last year to keep you from moving forward for Christ this year and seeking to be a Christ-like follower, more like Christ in 2:16 than you were in 2:15. Linda and I visited Ephesus, where Paul is writing to the Ephesians. And when Paul wrote to the small group of Ephesian believers, there was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world standing right there, the Temple of Diana or Artemis. Today, when you visit Ephesus, like Linda and I did, there is just one large pillar and one broken down small pillar. That's all that's left of this massive temple of Diana. But Paul, he believed that the small group of believers there in the cosmopolitan pagan metropolis of Ephesus, he believed that they could make a difference. And I honestly believe that you and I, even if it's for one, can make a difference in 2:16. If we do what Paul says, Paul writes, for ye were sometimes darkness. They used to be pagans. They were unsaved until they encountered Paul. But now are ye light in the Lord. And then he says this, walk as children of light. If you will walk as children of light, you will make a difference. And you will be different from the unsaved world around you. The reason the unsaved world believes that the church is irrelevant is because there's little discernible difference for many who profess to be Christians and the unsaved world. They just don't see any difference. No difference in the language, no difference in behavior, no difference in dress, no difference in morality. But there needs to be a difference. You have to choose to be different. Ephesians 5:11 tells you what that means. It means separation. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The key to being an island of light in the sea of darkness is not adapting and becoming like the darkness. It's letting your light shine. It says, have no fellowship. And that means, fellowship means to be a partaker or to work something together with. The word refers to joint participation between two or more individuals in a common interest or a common activity. Therefore, we are commanded to stop having fellowship with the works of darkness. Darkness refers to sin. Darkness refers to error. Darkness refers to those things that Christ would frown upon. To walk as a child of light means that our character and our conduct is different from the unsaved. Our character and conduct is different from the unsaved. Walking as children of light means revealing God's light in our daily lives, in our character, and in our conduct. We bring God's light into the dark world. I'm going to tell you how to do that this evening. I'm not going to go on Revelation this evening. I'm going to tell you how you can be prepared to bring light to a dark world tonight. As God's lights, we help others to find their way to Christ. You have to understand that the unsaved mind is blinded. It's in darkness. We need to do like the little song says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Surely let it shine in your character and conduct, but it also must shine in your conversation. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to tell them. You have to tell them the truth. I need to hurry along because we need to come to the Lord's table, but the last point is to expose and oppose darkness. Reprove it. Stand up for right. Stand against same-sex marriage. Stand against fornication. Stand against immorality. Stand against potty mouth. Stand against pornography. Stand against those things. But then show them the light. Light cannot compromise with darkness. It doesn't. Light doesn't compromise with darkness. Light pierces darkness. And that's what Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, that the light pierces the darkness. It exposes it and it opposes it. And it's true, sinners don't like the light. Sinners love darkness rather than light. So I can tell you, if you are going to be an island of light in a sea of darkness, there's going to be people who do not like you. But you know what? There's going to be people who love you because you've shown them the way to Christ, because they're at the bottom. They are looking at it. There is no more motivation. They've shot it. They've blown it. It's all done. It's all through. There just seems to be no purpose in life until they saw that Christ heals and forgives. I truly want you to turn on your high beams. I do. I challenge you to let your light shine in 2:16. I challenge you to be an island of light in a sea of darkness in 2016, because some people won't like it, but shine anyway. It will dispel the darkness, and some will come to the light. Walk as children of light. I don't want that little tiny. I settle for it as better than nothing, but I don't want that little tiny light like's on the front of my iPhone shining. You know, I want a lot of energy there. I want 1,000 water right up there. Letting your light shine in your character, in your conduct, but also in your conversation. Matthew 5, 14 through 16, and then we'll be done and come to the Lord's table. Ye are the light of the world. God's depending on me. God's depending on you for our areas. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I do ask you to join me in being an island of light in a sea of darkness in 2016. I don't want you cursing the darkness. I want you turning that light on so that there's people who will want to come to the light.